ければ。
The button has been pushed.
Commencing podcast now. It's Stereo Fox out.
Welcome to Pop Tech Jam, the independent audio magazine about consumer technology, pop culture, buyers, sellers, and bottom dwellers. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
On this week's show, well, you asked Pedro for it, and now the Google Nexus 7 tablet is going to get Kaisered. And I take a look at a couple of video editing apps that can help you make entertaining clips with just a few seconds of decent footage. But first, some news, or
news.
Do we have thoughts?
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. Hold on. I got something for you, JD.
What'd you get? Ooh.
Look at this.
Ew, it's a garment.
It is a garment. And what's on that garment?
It's a Pop Tech Jam t-shirt.
Yay!
With our logo and everything. Ooh, and it's that thick, beautiful t-shirt cotton.
It is.
You know, I hate those, you know.
I know, that
those wafer thin ones. Yeah,
no,
which they're not
using
up for
real stuff.
This is solid quality.
But you know what this means? That's obviously for you.
Thank you. It means we've got merchandise now.
We have merchandise now. We have merch. We should set up a merch table.
We should.
Yes.
Mugs, t-shirts, mouse pads.
But first, what we're going to do is, because we promised it all summer long, and now that we finally got around to getting the t-shirts, we're going to pick a winner in the Kaiser origin story.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to pick a winner. JD and I will go over it over the next week or two. We're not here next week because we're actually going to take a week's vacation. I know there's a lot of you that just got upset at this news. But please, we give and we give.
Yeah, just go back and play the Snark Week episode.
That's it. That was a good one. That was a good one.
We got a lot of feedback.
We got a lot of feedback. But you know what? There's a lot of you out there that like to binge listen. Now's your chance.
Yeah, just think of us as Netflix.
That's exactly. Binge listen to Pop Tech Jam. Right?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And then when we come back, we'll
pick a winner.
And the winner will get one of these handy dandy black
indeed.
With beautiful green lettering Pop Tech Jam t-shirts.
A very limited edition right now.
Limited edition.
There are only 12 of them in existence.
Ooh.
Yep. You and I are the only one that has one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's no 13th tribe.
No 13th tribe. Hey, by the way, have you ever heard of this show called Breaking Bad?
I have. I believe it is about crystal meth.
Yeah, it is about crystal meth. The season premiere was this Sunday. Did you watch? Do you watch?
I did. I have not watched that one. I remember when it came on and people were just blown away by it. I thought this was a really good show. And I think at the time I was oversubscribed in my viewing.
Right.
And I knew it was quality TV. I knew Bryan Cranston was in it and I like him and a lot of stuff. But it was one of those ones where I just couldn't quite make the time to keep up with it. So it did not happen for me. But I guess this is the last season for it.
It is
now,
the
right?
last season. Last 8 episodes. And I got to tell you, it was a great show. It was a great episode. I won't spoil it in case you're going to watch it at some point. And, you know, we got in trouble for spoiling movies and stuff. So I'm going to shut my mouth. But I will say this. Bryan Cranston gives another amazing performance. That guy in this role is just unbelievable. The transformation from what the character was at the very beginning of the series and to what he is now is just incredible. And the way it was just subtly done, episode by episode, season by season. And the guy who plays Hank, his brother-in-law, again, another amazing performance. I mean, you've got an incredible cast in this show. I lose myself in the show. I put it to you this way. It's the only show that I actually watch on television.
Oh, really?
I will watch. Granted, it's on demand, but you still got to watch the commercials. I will sit through the commercials for this show.
That means that you really, really like the show. If you will sit there and watch the commercials and that kind of stuff.
Only 24 hours later, but still, I watched it.
Yes.
I watched it. Anyway, I guess we should do some news.
Yeah, let's do some news.
News.
And now, some news.
News.
Elon Musk, the California billionaire, said to be the inspiration for Tony Stark in the Iron Man movies, as well as the founder or co-founder of PayPal, Tesla Electric Cars, and the SpaceX Space Transport Company, now has a new idea for how we should get around the country.
And what is that?
Earlier this week, Mr. Musk showed off his design for his Hyperloop transport system, which he himself is too busy to build right now, but hopes that someone else will take up the project. Now, I don't know if you saw this on the news, but it just made me think of the Jetsons and those pneumatic tubes
that people
were popping up and down in. But basically, the Hyperloop proposal shows a solar-powered network of crash-proof capsules that would zip people from San Francisco to Los Angeles in half an hour. Now, you know what traffic is like in California. Half an hour for this? I think, you know, heads are spinning there. But Mr. Musk outlined his Hyperloop vision in a blog post on the Tesla site and has described it as a cross between the Concorde supersonic turbojet, a railgun, and an air hockey table. So picture all three of those in your mind.
Well, hold on a second. And I'm supposed to climb into this thing?
Yes, you're supposed to get in the pod and go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll happen.
It's sort of a tube thing. I guess it's aluminum pods and steel tubes. Mm-hmm. And this whole network of steel tubes that they're going to build between all the major cities. Mm-hmm. And you just get in these things that shoot you right up there. I don't know about the G-forces or any of the physics stuff, yeah. How that might work. But it's still on paper at this point. But he's done this very detailed proposal for it that's on his site. We'll link to it. If built, the Hyperloop would cost an estimated $6 billion to build and take 7 to 10 years to get complete. But it could revolutionize, not to mention speed up, travel around the country, particularly in California, where it can be very slow.
I see.
Highways, you know, jammed, all of that.
Absolutely.
The 405, need we say more? Mm-hmm. Critics have said that the price tag is underestimated. The Hyperloop would face serious regulatory measures and also be vulnerable to accidents and terrorist attacks. And it's also a competing idea for, I think, a rail project that they've already got kind of in the works.
A monorail, maybe?
Well, there's this high-speed transport train thing that I think is under proposal in California. I think if you just take the Disneyland monorail and just pop that all over California—
Of course,
would make people happy, too.
I've got the Simpsons song in my head.
It's not quite the maglev we saw in Minority Report. Exactly. You know, again, I'm thinking Jetsons. Or those tubes at the bank, you know, where you would be in the other aisle. Yep. You come to the drive-thru and... Yes, he did say, again, he's too busy running Tesla Motors. And maybe somebody else could take these nice plans that he thought up and finish the thing. So... Don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but it made all the news. People were very excited. It was such a futuristic thing, and they had sketches, and you could sort of see how this thing would pan out. And it would be designed, I think, basically for trips where the cities are maybe a little too close for supersonic jet travel. You know, maybe, I think, 1,000 miles and under. But if you needed to get there, you could just zip across, and it would just, you know, take minutes or half an hour or whatever.
Wow.
Something to look forward to.
I wasn't all that excited.
Really? You were just like, meh.
Yeah, meh.
Yeah.
I'll walk.
How often do you want to go to L.A. to San Francisco either? I mean,
it doesn't happen much.
But maybe the Californians will support it.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Facebook is all up in your business again, or rather integrating its service with the Open Table restaurant reservation system to help you plan your dining events without you having to run off and open another app to do so. And
well, again, that's convenient.
Yes, you know, and it kind of lets it see, you know, oh, Facebook sees that you're going to dine here. It's going to build that into your big data file.
Nice.
About 20,000 North American restaurants are supposed to work with the feature. Facebook also upgraded its mobile app this week and added channel listings and showtimes for pages that are for movies and TV shows within the service. So if you wanted to see what time Breaking Bad was going to be on, you could go to the Breaking Bad Facebook page and it would have information for you there.
Have you seen that show? That's a good show.
I haven't. I've heard many good things about it from very close friends who really like it. So I will put it on my list when I get a space in the schedule.
Nice.
But they only added the listings, I guess, to the iOS app. They have not said when they're going to come forth with Android and their other mobile versions.
Darn.
And now the social network also bought Mobile Technologies, a speech interpretation and translation company. They had a busy week there, I guess, at Facebook.
Yes.
A little upgrade, a little acquisition. This Mobile Technologies company could help it compete with products like Google Translate and Apple's Siri Assistant, where either you talk to an interpreter and it does something, or perhaps with language translation.
I tried using Siri this weekend, and it did not really work.
Did it not work out?
No, it was not pretty.
Did she have issues with what you were telling her? She just confused?
She was confused most of the time.
She wasn't part of that, like, strike that they were having for higher wages or anything, was she?
No, she wasn't. Not like the McDonald's folks, no.
Yeah, you know, Siri's like, I'm on my break. Go away.
I'm on my way, right? This is a union-mandated break. I think it was my Bronx accent. I think
really? It was just throwing her? Maybe we need to get, like, Bronx Siri.
Yeah, that's it. Bronx Siri. Yo,
Siri.
What do you want? What can I do?
I think you should work with Apple to develop that. We should have like a Siri for all five boroughs.
I don't know what you meant. I'm busy.
Yeah, I think, you know, a little Siri, you know, a no-nonsense Siri. I think
no-nonsense
get behind that.
I think I like it.
NBC News also went shopping this week and came home with StringWire, a web service that would let the company stream live video from user cell phones at the scene of an accident or incident right to the TV control room.
Wow.
A news producer could then look at 30 live feeds from people at the scene, maybe select the best one that's really showing what's going on there from all these people holding up their phones, say, you know, with the plane crash or whatever.
Right.
StringWire works by scanning Twitter messages from people who claim to be witnessing a news event, and then it sends those folks a little tweet, says, hey, you know, click a link here and you can stream your video. It's all voluntary. There's no need for a third party out there. So once you click the link that they tweet you, turn on your phone, point the camera at the event, StringWire starts streaming the live video, in theory, now to NBC,
right.
Where, of course, it will be screened for Rick Rowland before they air it. So
never going to give you up.
Yeah, you know, got to make sure, you know, the user-generated content does
of
not
course.
Go that far. Now, with all the buying and selling this week, add one more firm to the club, BlackBerry. But instead of buying new technology or acquiring another company, the smartphone maker is looking to get bought or perhaps find a business partner. Yes, things have not gone too well there with the Canadian-based firm. This week, the company halted trading in its shares to announce that it was exploring strategic alternatives.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they call it now. And I guess BlackBerry stock price has fallen almost 38% in the last 6 months.
Wow.
The whole BlackBerry OS 10 and the Z10 and the Q10, maybe not getting that much of the market that they were hoping for.
See what happens when they cross the Kaiser?
That's true.
See what happens?
Yeah, your fate awaits you.
All they had to do was give me a new operating system for my playbook. But
yeah.
No. I'm sorry that it had to get to this point.
Yeah, the playbook is their tombstone.
That's right. It is.
The mighty have fallen.
Yes, indeed.
Dick Cheney did not want Google Maps to show satellite images of the vice presidential residence when he was living there, and now the government of Norway is telling Apple to step off. Did you see this?
Yes, I did.
On the web there?
Yeah.
The Norwegian government recently denied a request from Apple to do a 3D mapping of its capital city of Oslo. They had security concerns, obviously, particularly after the bombing in 2011 that killed 8 people and wounded 200.
Right.
I guess Apple's asked the U.S. Embassy to help. The Norwegian security agency said, no, we're not going to do it. So.
Right. Back off.
Yeah, they're not doing it.
Not doing it.
So I guess you'll just have to imagine
just use
what Oslo looks like. And this is, again, for Apple Maps.
Right.
So. Now, if you hate Windows 8, hang on, because Windows 8.1 is said to be arriving in just a few months.
Nice.
According to sources familiar with the project, the update is headed into its release to manufacturing stage for the new hardware maker soon.
Right.
So that's always the first step.
Yep, step one.
And existing Windows 8 users can expect the 8.1 update to get pushed out to their machines. They're thinking in October now. So
that's not bad.
Nice little fall surprise. The almost final beta version of 8.1 includes the smaller live tiles, built-in tutorials to help confuse users, and an integrated Bing-powered search engine. I guess the tutorials were really a big step. Like, this is an admission for Microsoft. Yeah, we realized Windows 8 was kind of confusing because nobody knew what to do. So now they're building in these tutorials to help people get used to things like the Charms bar and this whole live tile thing.
That's pretty nice of them.
Maybe it will help people feel more comfortable with the system and have less of that learning curve. Also, in the system revamped mail, photo, and calendar apps, the ability to skip the start screen and boot from the desktop, as we've mentioned before.
As we did, yes.
And now the inclusion of Skype as a stock app because Microsoft owns that. So those are things reportedly in the mix for Windows 8. Speaking of Skype, Microsoft did release a new version of that app for the latest iPhone and iPad models. And the reason it only works on the latest ones is because this new version of the app does HD video, so only the iPhone 5 and the 4th-gen iPad can handle it.
It's got to have some horsepower.
Yeah, so if you're a Skype user on iOS and you've got the latest gear, you can have much clearer, prettier pictures when you do video chat. Getting back to Microsoft and Windows here, though.
Yeah.
If you do know someone who's afraid to update to Windows 8, especially if they're still clinging to that ancient, tired, crusty Windows XP, please encourage them to upgrade to Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 by next spring. As we all know, Microsoft will stop patching Windows XP then.
Yes, they will.
And security experts are saying now that it will be hacker heaven next April because cyber criminals are stockpiling plenty of bugs and exploits to unleash on these unpatchable computers that are just going to be sitting around.
Right.
And you think, well, how many can it be? Maybe it's not going to be that bad. But Computer World has projected that Windows XP will still run on between 33% and 34% of the world's personal computers at the end of April 2014.
It's going to be a free-for-all.
Yeah, and I guess on the black markets and things, you know, people are selling these bugs and exploits and, hey, this will, you know, let you crack this. And they're going for quite high prices, and people are just having this whole arsenal of stuff ready for the day that Microsoft stops patching XP, and then they can just run wild. So
do yourself a favor, folks. Just upgrade.
Yeah, Windows 8 may look scary, but 8.1 is supposed to be better. It's got tutorials now. And
hey, Windows 7 is great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Windows 7.
So
it still has that little dove, you know, on the startup screen.
You know what? That actually brings something up that I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Somebody mentioned on one of our reviews, by the way, if you're out there and you're listening to the show, consider putting a review or rating us on iTunes or any other service that you listen to us on, because that helps us keep doing the show. But anyway, the point is that somebody mentioned that we don't talk enough about PCs and stuff like that. It's a tablet and smartphone world.
Yes, we've gone mobile like the rest of the
world. Exactly. But maybe down the road, we'll concentrate a little more on PC products and Mac products that aren't Slate-like devices.
PCs are still a big part of the world out there, more in the business world, I think, as more people do tend to move to the lighter weights. But, you know, I just bought a Windows laptop the other week.
I got a new Mac laptop myself.
In other Microsoft news, the list of requirements for using the upcoming Xbox One console seems to be getting more reasonable. Remember yes. how it was not?
They have totally backed off.
Yes. Now, in addition to backing off the original you must always be connected to the internet thing, and also we decide if you get to play use games requirements.
That's gone.
Microsoft has now said that the Kinect motion controller does not need to be connected for the console to work. The Xbox One will still come with a Kinect, so you'll have to buy them together and pay for it, but you don't have to have the motion controller hooked up in case you were paranoid about the thing possibly watching you while you sat there.
All legitimate concerns.
Yeah. So all of these major things that they had said out of the gate, I think they looked around, saw the user outrage, saw that Sony had pantsed them, realized maybe we need to back up a little bit and be more friendly.
Telling you, you know, I still say they freaked out completely when they saw the reaction that Sony got.
Oh, yeah, E3.
Yes.
With the used games
the
thing.
Standing ovation, the screaming, you know, even the Sony guy was freaked.
It must have just been like this sort of sense of dread in Redmond.
Yes, indeed.
Moving on. Now, it wasn't quite the promotional disaster as the fictional Thanksgiving turkey giveaway on WKRP in Cincinnati, but a PR stunt in Seoul, Korea didn't turn out as planned either. The event was for the new G2 smartphone from LG Electronics, in which LG tied free phone vouchers to 100 helium balloons and let them all go in a city park. The plan was if you got a voucher, you got a free G2 phone, or at least, you know, that was the plan. What LG didn't count on was the hopeful contender showing up with BB guns, knives, and pointed sticks, and going nuts and stampeding when the balloons were released. At the final count, 20 people were injured and 7 had to be taken to the hospital.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry to be laughing. I know people got hurt, but oh my God.
Yeah, did you not really think this thing out all the way?
It's a bloodbath.
Yeah, someone bought pointed sticks, you know, and they're going to shoot down and stab the balloons and get these vouchers and go run. And it was all, because I guess this is the hot phone, and people were desperate to get it. But they didn't really think the public safety thing through. LG has taken responsibility for the situation and said it would cover medical costs related to the incident.
I'm so sorry. And, you know, on top of it, too, I've got like Monty Python skits right in my head. But what if they come at me with a pointed stick?
Yes, and we found out what happens. You end up in the hospital. So yeah, maybe not the best well thought out.
Yeah, LG, you got to think through the next one.
Yeah, you know, people will do a lot for free gear. And yeah.
When it's a hot new phone?
Yeah, and anything that might be considered a floating target. Really, play the whole board there, guys. Now, on a much calmer note.
Okay, I got to calm down. Yes.
This is actually kind of exciting if you're a photographer.
Right.
Camera sites are leaking that Sony Electronics is working on a lens camera attachment for smartphones that basically clips onto the front of your Android or iPhone.
Yes.
And the lens communicates with the phone by Wi-Fi, and you can control this clip-on lens with an app and turn your phone into this really nice point-and-shoot camera.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, the addition of a better lens gives you zoom functions, not to mention bigger sensor, and also the power to take way better pictures than what you could do with a little camera in your phone. Yep. And you don't have to drag around a separate point-and-shoot camera.
Right.
I've seen a couple of pictures of it. Not that big. You can easily fit it in your pocket. Much smaller than taking a point-and-shoot camera.
Sure.
You've got your phone with you anyway, so you just have this little attachable doodad. Pop it on. They were saying that some of the pictures were comparable, and the sensor looked like it may have been equal to the one in the Sony RX100, which is their hot little pocket phone. But beautiful, beautiful photos out of that thing. Now, there is no comment from Sony yet on price, availability, or confirmation of the product's actual existence, but a couple of blogs have had some photos, and they seem very confident that this thing is on the way. It was a leak, you know, from somebody close to the project.
I might buy this bad boy.
Yeah, so if it's not a lot of money. Because, I mean, the RX100, I think, has a list price of about $650, which is a lot for a point-and-shoot, but it takes really great photos. So if this thing is half or even lower, and it meshes with the camera really well, and you get that functionality of being able to email your pictures or upload them very easily from your phone's internet connection, that could be a very handsome product.
It's all win.
Yeah. So let's hope it's real.
Yes, indeed.
This is one little personal note. This is a fellow tech podcaster that I'm acquainted with who records for the BBC, Alex Kurtosky, posted a note this week. She did a really great tech podcast called The Digital Human for BBC Radio 4, did 20 episodes altogether, looked at our relationship with technology in the online world, and looked at very specific elements of that, like privacy and all of that. So if you are into that sort of thing, intelligent tech listening, all 20 episodes of the show are now available for download. So when you get done with Pop Tech Jam, you still have a little tech podcast craving.
Yeah, you know.
I would recommend. Alex Kurtosky is a great presenter and really does a nice podcast. So
Agreed.
Check it out.
Yep.
And again, she's a friend of mine, so I will fess up and be transparent here. It's a great show. I listen to it to the gym. So.
Hey, she's not a friend of mine, and it's a great show.
Yeah, so there you go. So yeah. The Kaiser has spoken.
I have spoken.
We have two bits of Android news here.
All right, do tell.
Because we can never have too much Android news.
Of course not.
Bitcoin developers are warning of a security flaw with the Android wallet feature that could lead to the theft of your digital currency.
That's oopsie.
Kind of a bummer. An upgrade to patch the hole is on the way. So if you are a Bitcoin user and have Android, maybe make sure you've got the latest updates out there.
Right. That's got to be harsh in the Winklevi's mellow.
Poor Winklevi.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Android world, if you like the idea of the Google Chromecast but can't get one, consider the Cheapcast.
What?
It's a piece of software. It's still in beta, but the free Cheapcast app promises to turn your Android phone or tablet into a target screen for streaming Chromecast-friendly apps like YouTube between devices. So maybe you're streaming something on your phone. You want to beam it over to your Android tablet.
Right.
You could use this Cheapcast app and turn that tablet into the Chromecast screen, what it would be if you had it plugged in the TV.
Gotcha. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I mean, if you've got a bunch of small screens around, you're just kind of beaming from one small screen to another.
Right.
But they say that if the gadget acting as the streaming receiver has a small screen, you can connect it to a TV with an HDMI cable. So
nice.
So if you happen to have one of those laying around, it could be a way to sort of get the video from your smaller device onto a bigger device.
I love workarounds.
And since the Chromecast seems to be kind of hard to get because everyone ran out and bought one, even though it got sort of middle to fair reviews.
Right. And they hosed this with Netflix.
Yeah. And they hosed it with Netflix, which I know you are still holding them to account for.
I am indeed.
Now, as we move through the calendar year, we have discovered that, yes, it's that time of year. Again, the Apple rumors have started to include mention of a date for the company's major big fall announcement. Now, just a few years ago, the fall date referred to iPods, but with media players pretty much taking a backseat to everything else in the company's inventory, it sounds like the iPhone will be the star of this year's show, which is now rumored for September the 10th.
September 10th, okay.
Yeah, that was the date. I believe All Things D was the first one on that.
I did see that, yes.
At last, we can find out if the biometric fingerprint sensor and the cheaper model are indeed a reality. And the final version of iOS 7 will probably be in there too, because why would you release this brand new gorgeous phone and still have last year's operating system on it? So I'm thinking iOS 7 has got to be done by then, and they
gotta
can
be.
Release that. And once you put it out on the new phone, then you can make it available for everyone who's got older models that can still run the software.
Right.
And I think iOS 7 just went into its fifth beta, so that's got to be close anyway.
It's definitely close.
Now, while all this is probably going to be happening September 10th, we're guessing. Again, we're guessing.
Rumor.
They didn't really say anything about OS X Mavericks or iPads or iWatch or iTV or I don't know what else. They didn't mention anything along those lines. So
what about the iPod Classic?
I have not heard about the iPod Classic. You know, hanging by a thread. We have not updated this thing since 2009.
Yes,
so.
Yes, exactly.
I hope it makes the cut again.
I hope so, too.
That means that they'll probably do another event like they did last year. They did the September event, and then they came back a month later in October and did all of the iPad stuff. And then it's when iTunes was like really late last year because they were having all those problems with it. I don't think that dropped until November.
Right.
Maybe they'll do it all at once. I kind of don't think so because
I doubt it.
Apple likes to sort of isolate the spotlight on a very specific product.
Right.
And I think it's going to be all about the iPhone. And I think if they are indeed releasing this cheaper model, the iPhone C or the iPhone Lite, I've heard two different names for what it could potentially be called.
iPhone Lite?
iPhone, ugh. Yeah. It's, you know, it's like iPhone Diet. You know, what are we going to call this
right.
thing?
Yeah.
The iPhone C, is that for cheap? You know, what does it, you know, because it was going to be like the iPhone 5S, like they did with the 4S and the 3S. Mm-hmm. 5C was going to be the other one. And I'm like, 5C for cheap.
Right.
So 5C for crappy. I don't know. Who knows what they're going to call it. But the rumors of the lighter, cheaper iPhone do persist. So maybe we'll see that next month. But they'll want to keep the spotlight there. And of course, iOS 7, which will come with it. So I think if they are doing a second announcement, then it'll be iPads. It'll be Mavericks. I don't know if they're going to do anything with iTunes this year. They usually do a minor upgrade. Last year's was huge, but you know, this year maybe just a little bit of bump. And they have to get iTunes Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're looking at another mid-October thing, and then the mad frantic dash to Black Friday after Thanksgiving, where everyone actually buys stuff.
Right.
So again, Apple, you know, trying to hog the spotlight as much as possible.
They're trying.
Their stock price has been going down this year.
Still?
They have been accused of not being, you know, innovative anymore.
Really?
So I think they kind of have to come up with something here.
They have to.
Other sources like Bloomberg News are reporting that the next iPad will sport a thinner design. The mini will get that spiffy Retina display. Again, Bloomberg's also chiming in like, you know, you're not going to see iPad stuff for the last 3 months of the year.
Right.
So, of course, Apple's not saying anything about anything. They're just like, okay, guys, knock yourselves out. We're going to do what we do.
Free publicity.
Yeah. I guess we should get to the end finally.
And finally.
If you've been listening to that little tritone sound that Apple devices make by default when you get a text message, check out the essay by the creator of that distinctive composition.
Really?
You know, that little marimba tritone thing. Now, that little tritone sound has actually been around for 10 years and predates the iPhone, going all the way back to the old SoundJam MP jukebox program.
Wow,
from 2001 or so.
Absolutely.
The SoundJam MP program later got turned into iTunes because Apple bought it, revamped it, kept the little silver skin, but sort of morphed it into iTunes. Then when it got into iTunes, a little tritone sound, I think it still actually might be in there. You know that little bloop noise that it makes when I'm done ripping your CD?
Yep.
It's in there. So former Apple software engineer Kelly Jacklin tells the tale of this particular little note sequence in his essay, The History of the Bootaling Sound.
Bootaling?
Yes, that's the Bootaling, yeah.
Bootaling, okay.
You know, not bada bing, it's Bootaling.
Bootaling.
Bootaling! If you're into sound design, sound engineering, how sounds get into computer programs and live a long life throughout generations of products, it's a very interesting read.
And
we will have a link to it on our show page, along with everything else that we yammered on about here in today's news section. You can find all these links at
poptechjam.com.
I like that.
If you build it, they will come.
Build your brand. Build your business. For strategic branding, call Bros at 914-325-2733. Get to know our global marketing team online at builtbybros.com. Build something.
JD.
Pedro.
Guess what I bought?
I'm going to go out on a limb and maybe guess it was either another Kindle or an Android tablet.
It was definitely an Android tablet.
Uh-huh.
Bam!
Ooh, you got the Nexus 7
new one. Just like yours.
Oh.
Hello. How you doing, buddy?
They're friends.
So
they probably knew each other in the factory. And now we come to this country and we're still together.
It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. Last summer, I did the tablet Olympics.
You had like
the
four
whole
of them at once,
I'm just going to concentrate on the Nexus 7 2013 edition versus the 2012 edition.
Ah, so you were looking within the product line to see what has improved from year to year.
I am indeed. Now, take a gander at this one. Take a feel of that one. That's the Nexus 7 2012.
Feels a bit heavier.
Right,
it's
feels
got
heavier.
It's a silver edge that makes it look like a first generation iPad.
Right, exactly. And now
it's a little chunkier.
Yeah, compare the weight to your Nexus 7.
Oh, yeah, the new one, much lighter.
Much lighter. And now the back. Feel the back of both.
This one's sort of almost, it's almost like if like leather rubber existed.
Right, the 2013.
The new one has a kind of leathery rubber, and this one's more perferated.
And grippy.
Yeah, it's grippy. I mean, yeah, it's got a little tack to it.
Yeah, you feel like it's not going to slip out of your hand. The bezel is wider on the 2012 version. That's obviously a lot slimmer, right?
Yeah,
well, that's yours. See, I'm grabbing yours. It's like, give me my Nexus.
They made it a black bezel, so you can't really tell where the screen ends and the edge starts.
Exactly right. Now, right off the bat, we said it when you first unboxed yours. Sharp screen. Beautiful screen.
Pretty screen.
It seriously makes the 2012 version look kind of lame, especially when you do them side to side.
Yeah.
What really surprised me, though, was the battery life.
Really?
I figured that considering the quality of the screen, the battery life was going to be ridiculous.
It would just be like sucking down Gatorade on a hot day.
Exactly. And you know what? And I'm doing a little research. I'm hearing that the battery is actually smaller. This was even before I got it. I'm like, battery life is actually better than the 2012 version.
Oh, really? So that they have improved battery technology in just 1 year.
Now, I took into consideration that I've been using this for over a year, and obviously it wasn't a very scientific test, but, you know, I put it through its paces using the same criteria. I played games, I watched a movie, I used Netflix, same drill, and I tried to set them up very comparable as far as what apps are on there and what was running, and the new Nexus really did well as far as battery life. I'm thinking I could get at least 10 plus hours, where with the Nexus 2012, I was getting 8, 9 at the most.
Do you think they've really got a handle on battery management
in
Android 4.3?
Well, I'm thinking it has more to do with the OS. Yes, with 4.3. I just upgraded the Nexus 2012 to 4.3. You know, I waited a little while. And to be perfectly honest with you, I wasn't using it as much as I was using my iPad over the last couple of months. Price-wise, though, the Nexus 2012 is a 32 gig. The 2013 is a 16 gig, same as yours.
Yeah.
I paid $230 for the 2013.
Yeah.
Came out to like $250 almost with tax. That was about the same as I paid for the 32 gig last year.
Yeah, because I've heard this year's is more expensive. It went from like $199 to $229.
Definitely.
Is that the screen, we think we're getting the cost passed along?
No,
there?
There's a lot more under the hood
with the
2013.
The
I got to tell you.
Under the hood.
I got to tell you, the 2013 is a really impressive tablet. I would go so far as to say it would give the full-size iPad a run. It looks beautiful. It's just a beautiful slate.
323 pixels per?
Absolutely. And also,
you shop, you could cut butter with it.
You could indeed. You could indeed. You can wirelessly charge this thing, which is obviously not an option that you can do on the iPad or on even the older Nexus.
So if you have a compatible wireless charging pad, you put it on.
Exactly.
Zap right up.
Takes forever. Absolutely takes forever. The form factor, what I call the feel factor, is great. I mean, it really fits in your hand perfectly.
Yeah, if it fits in hand, it's a handy device.
Yeah, it's like not like you got big ham hocks there. And it is lighter, significantly lighter. The biggest advantage, although I don't see the point of it, it's got a nice little camera on it.
Yeah.
Now, walking around with an iPad, one of the big full-size tablets, that's kind of goofy. But, you know, if you want to take a quick picture of your kids and you happen to have it, click. The 2012 version of the Nexus 7 definitely feels more substantial. The 2013 has the micro USB, but the nice thing about it is that you can finally use it as a mini HDMI. Using SlimPort, you get a $30 adapter and you can plug it into your TV set, which is kind of cool.
So I was going to say it was cousin to the Light Swim Witwin, but... But no, SlimPort is not related to Slim Whitman.
No, it is definitely not related to Slim Whitman. And Android 4.3 has some features that definitely make it a cut above what you were getting at 4.22. Not much of a radical difference, but for someone like myself who has kids, the ability to create profiles, which you had in 4.2, but you can actually tweak them, and I can have a master account that actually controls those, so I don't feel so bad if I hand the Nexus to my kids and they're playing around with it.
You don't have to worry about them deleting stuff.
Not only deleting stuff or maybe getting somewhere. Maybe I could block apps if I want. So, you know, that's a big plus.
So the profiles are easier to set up and they make more sense.
Absolutely. Okay. They certainly make a lot more sense. Horsepower-wise, big difference.
Yeah.
Obviously, the 2013 is much faster, much stronger.
Zippy chip. It's a Snapdragon S4,
it is
right?
A Snapdragon S4, 1.5 gigahertz. The GPU on this thing is amazing. Playing games on this is significantly better than on the older version. I'm actually looking forward to playing the old Grand Theft Auto games on here. You know, you can buy them, you download them, and you can actually connect a PS3 connector to it. So I'm looking forward to getting to do that.
This thing's going to get even more of a workout when you get
time
to game.
Oh, big time. Big time. Definitely going to get a workout. Overall, I have to say, if you have a 2012 Nexus, you don't really have to upgrade. Honestly, you really don't have to upgrade.
You can get the 4.3 software update.
You get the 4.3 Android software update. Right now, it's selling for a ridiculously low price. The 16 gig version is like $150 at Walmart or whatever.
Clearing the inventory there,
exactly. Clearing the inventory. There's no compelling reason to upgrade to the Nexus 7 2013 version. But if you want a really great 7-inch tablet, it's got all the bells and whistles plus a great screen. This is top class, and the price is still pretty reasonable. $230 for 16 gig.
Yeah, well, they bumped it $30, but
right,
you got better
bucks.
Screen, better battery.
Yeah, better screen, better battery, $270 for the 32 gig Wi-Fi, $350 for the 4G LTE. A bargain at any price. Those are great prices for the quality you're getting in this tablet.
Yeah, and it's the straight up Google version of Android, right? There's no
manufacturer
stuff larded on there.
There's nothing. It's pure Google Android. It gets the Kaiser spike of approval.
All right.
I just made that up. I don't know what it means, but it's the spike of approval.
I think we need to sort of have like a little trophy or something. All right, so it wins a Kaiser spike.
It does, Kaiser spike.
I'm very happy with mine too.
Yes,
so we'll see how it holds up when Amazon rolls out their upgraded Kindles and whenever the new iPad mini
So
appears.
Old friend, how are ya?
It's I miss the old country.
I miss the old country, too. We
Remember
should talk.
Remember the times in the factory we would sit on the assembly
just
line?
Just sliding back and forth on the assembly line.
Before we got wrapped in our plastic and came to this country.
Why do they all sound like they're like a crusty old guys from Brooklyn? What is
I think that's my I hear a lot
from
of old
Brighton
guy
Beach.
Stories. Yeah. You know, if you ride the train that goes to Coney Island,
please.
You
kidding me? You kidding me?
So we love the Nexus 7. We mentioned that in the last segment.
Yes, indeed.
We love taking video, don't we?
We do.
The mobile devices have really made shooting your own movies so much easier now. You don't have to go get a camcorder. You can do a lot of it right on the device, whether you have an iPhone or a Nexus tablet or any of the major mobile devices out there these days, the Samsung Galaxy.
They'll all do it.
It gives you the opportunity to take video pretty much anywhere you want to. But if you ever had that incident, which I know you have kids and you probably have seen this, where you shoot hours and hours of clips, but you only have a few seconds of really interesting stuff, like when they stop fighting and they do something cute.
Yes.
And then so you've got 5 hours of footage and maybe 5 seconds of not fighting.
Of usable, yes.
Yeah. And I get that, too, with pets and nieces and things.
Right.
So if you find yourself in the situation that you've got not a whole lot of really great footage, but yet you want to make a video clip for a parent or a friend or somebody to, you know, just to show off your video editing skills, but you don't want it to be boring.
I'm liking this so far.
There are apps that can help you with that. You know,
get
there seems
out.
To be an app for everything.
Hold on. Let me get ready here. Hold on.
Yeah,
let me
your
get
tablets
ready.
In
let
a
me
row.
Get tablets in a row. All right. Lay it on me.
There's two different types of apps I'm going to talk about here. If you have that problem of ideas, but not a lot of good footage,
yes.
or vice versa, do what Hollywood does. Put all the good stuff in the trailer. Or skip the script and lard it up with special effects.
Nice!
Yeah.
I like that.
These two Hollywood solutions, I think, will work for us. And there is an app for each one of those solutions. And as you know, most app stores have plenty of video editing programs. So even though we're just going to talk about two of them here today, if you hear us describe one, you know, go look in your app store, because there could be something comparable to it.
So I can have my little Nina, like, take out, like, entire cities, like Superman?
Yeah, you can.
Nice.
Yeah, she can you know, knock spaceships from the sky. But going back to the Hollywood plan, you know, where you put all the good stuff in the trailer.
Yes.
Thanks to Apple's $5 iMovie app for iOS, you can take a total of maybe 10 or 15 seconds of usable video, chop it into little 2 or 3 second clips, and put it in this template that they give you, customize the text with some prefab graphics, and crank out a little summer movie style trailer in less than half an hour. Even faster if you kind of know what you want to do in the first place.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and this is a feature. It came with the latest version of iMovie, and it's on the iMovie desktop version for the Mac as well.
Nice.
And they popped it into the $5 mobile app, which works for iPhone, iPod Touch, and the iPad.
Right.
A lot of people maybe didn't know it was there. They're just using it to do the little movies.
I used iMovie the other day. I didn't know it was there.
Yeah, but to get to it, what you do is you go to the main iMovie screen. You fire up the app. You go to the main screen.
Right.
Tap that little plus sign that says, oh, I want to make a new project.
Yeah. Yep.
But instead of new project, choose new trailer. And once you pick new trailer, the app then walks you through a series of steps for making a classic Hollywood-style movie trailer. And to set the tone of whatever you want to do, they have made it sort of a collection of genres for the musical and title sequence. So there's a Saul Bass-inspired 60s spy movie one. There's one for a love story. There's a horror film, a superhero action flick, even a Bollywood-style Indian musical if you really want to get creative.
I'm so messing with these.
So once you pick a style, hey, I want to do romance, or I want to do swashbuckle, or I want to do something. So pick a style and then tap the create button that's there in the corner. And the next screen that it takes you to has two tabs, outline and storyboard.
Right.
On the outline screen, you type in the personalized text that you want to use for the trailer copy, as you know, the type slides around the screen and presents your movie. You customize it with the name of your kid or the name of your puppy or whatever you want there, whatever you want, you know, your hints of the plot to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the storyboard screen on the other tab shows a bunch of rectangles to drag in video clips from your camera roll. So you'll see these sort of series of little blank boxes, and it'll say, okay, wide shot, 2 seconds. Action shot, 3 seconds.
Nice.
And so it basically guides you through the type of footage that you should put there to make a really effective trailer that gets cut together.
I'm so digging this.
So you tap in there and it takes you to the camera roll of your iPhone or your iOS device. And then you look in the video footage that you've shot there that's stored in the camera roll, and you find something that fits the bill. Drag that in. There's a little viewer that maybe it's a 10-second clip, and you only need 2 seconds, and you want those perfect 2 seconds from that. And so you can slide the little viewer around so you get those 2 seconds in the trailer.
So now, does the guy with the heavy voice come in there, too?
Like, he wasn't in the one that I used.
In a world of crazy kids.
Yes. I don't know if I have not hit one where the in a world guy is.
Oh, that would be awesome.
But I haven't used them all yet. So
Let's make one.
I mainly just done the Saul Bass one because I love Saul Bass.
Yes, so
but you, perhaps you could voice the in a world guy.
I think so.
So when you're have got all your little rectangles filled up, and it takes, you know, maybe 8 or 9 clips of no more than, I think, 4 seconds is one of them. And some of them are 1 or 2 seconds.
That's awesome.
So you drag all these things into position. you know, get your close-ups where it tells you to put close-ups. And then once you drag everything in there, you fill in all the outline text, fill up the rectangles, tap the full screen button, and you can see a preview of your trailer play.
Nice.
And you watch it through and you say, oh, maybe I want to use a different shot here. You can go back and pull in different clips if something's not quite working
right
where you thought it might.
Gotcha.
So once you get it just the way you want it, you can export the finished trailer to your camera roll or upload it to Facebook, YouTube, or other video sites. So that's one way that you can get by with very minimal footage and still make an entertaining little piece of video. And they're about a minute long when they're done by the time they put the music and the title cards in. There's all kinds of things you can do with the
cool
trailer feature here.
But obviously you have more.
Yes, I have a little bit more. Now, I haven't been able to find an app that compares for Android quite yet. I haven't dug down. You know, Google Play's, you know, pushing up to a million here.
Yeah.
So I've not gone through everything yet. But while I was looking around to see if there was any sort of comparable trailer making app for Android, I did find FX Guru, the movie FX director in the Google Play Store.
Cool.
Now, this is an app that lets you mix in things like robots, explosions, and spaceships into home video as you shoot it to kind of jazz things up a little bit. You know, you get a few of the special effects for free, like the falling satellite or the dancing Android man, which is one of my favorites.
Right.
You can buy more as you get the hang of it and you get the need to be more creative. The effects come in six packs. I think they're about $6.50 a piece or whatever.
Gotcha.
And you get things like alien shuttlecraft and dinosaurs running through the scene.
Nice.
They have all kinds of things, and they're all of these very classic Hollywood blockbuster things happening, you know, explosions and men coming down on ropes and all sorts of things you can add. What it does is when you pick an effect, it gives you a little overlay on the screen so you can frame the shot, get the kids or the dog or whoever you're filming in.
Set up.
And then you see an outline of where the effect's going to come in. And so you can be sure to position the people you're filming so that it kind of makes sense. And so once you shoot that, and it shows a little timer and how long you have to hold the Android device up. Tap done, and then it lets you go through a screen and match the motion. Like if the kids are moving around, it'll kind of match the motion with the effect. And then you let it process, and then it kicks out a finished clip where it's overlaid the special effect onto your video.
That's
and they're
cool.
about
like
10
that.
To 20 seconds long, depending on which effect.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think you get like six or seven effects for free. Again, you can buy more, but you know, you can sample a little bit and see if it works for you.
And what's the name of this?
This one is called FX Guru. And once you get done with your little trailer, you can save it to your Google Drive, post it on YouTube, transfer it to your computer by Bluetooth.
Right.
So you basically just need to get the kids to do something for about 20 seconds, and then you can share a much more memorable clip of them standing there trying not to kick each other. There are a ton of apps out there that do all kinds of things. These are just two that I happen to find that I've been playing around with. But but they really, the whole thing of, I don't have very much good stuff, what can I do with it? This really kind of solves that problem
for
you.
It really does.
And I'm going to throw up some samples of what these apps can do on our show page.
Cool.
If you want to see for yourself, we'll have links to the apps themselves.
Cool.
So if you got a little bit of time, I think iMovie is $5. The other one's free.
Nice.
Want to play around with it? You can come up with some fun stuff.
I got to say goodbye, JD.
Yes, it's that time again.
It is that time. I want to remind everyone we're not here next week. So catch up. If you haven't listened, now's the time.
Catch up.
Just
taking a little of the summer vacay here to rest up for the Apple announcement.
That's
and
right.
Things happening this fall.
Yeah, because, you know, the fall is when it heats up.
Yeah, lots of stuff all rolling downhill like a giant snowball of new products straight into the holiday season.
That's right. I got tablets I need to buy.
You got to save your strength for that,
I
man.
Do,
and
I do.
And new money.
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, we got to thank the bros.
Yes, thank you so much, bros.
Thank you, bros. Built by bros. com. Build something. Build it with the bros.
Again, we have t-shirts now, so we're going to read the Kaiser origin story and pick a winner for
that. Yeah, we'll pick a winner on the show when we get back a couple of weeks, so listen to that.
Thank you, listeners, each and every one of you, for downloading us or streaming us every week. We wouldn't be here without you guys either.
Absolutely not. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+. You know, if there's a social network out there, more than likely, we're on it.
Yes, we do tend to get around there.
Yes, we do.
So until the week after next, when we're back,
right.
I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
Okay, Google Nexus 7 more. Now!
Yes, now!
I guess we should do some technical talk.
A little technical talk.
Yeah, because it's New York and we talk.
But we won't do tech talk.
No.
No.
That old thing.
That old thing.
No.
We won't do that.
It's passé.
Did you ever have the test records? The test
Yeah.
This will be coming out of your left speaker. And now the right speaker.
We're morphing from 12-year-old boys to 80-year-old Jewish men.
It was bound to happen.
Yes.
It was bound to happen.
If you live in New York, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It'll get you.
Yep.
Start wearing our pants up around our chest. I bought a ticket on a monorail.